Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
If you're a fan of Victorian literature, and particularly the Sherlock Holmes mysteries of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, you'll recall that periodically people succumb to brain fever. Something wretched happens, a loved one dies, or a person is wrongly accused, and they totally freak out. They scream, they run around in circles, they might beat on things, they flail about. They're completely out of control until somebody drags them away and they run out of energy and collapse and lie in their beds for a matter of weeks or sometimes much longer. Although this sometimes has been dismissed as a completely fabricated literary mechanism, those who perceive the diagnosis in terms of the state of medicine at that time acknowledge that something legitimate probably was going on. Fast forward to contemporary medicine, if you bring up the phrase brain fever, immediately you will be told it is a form of encephalitis or some other brain inflammation that is caused by a virus, a bacteria, or a breakdown in the mechanical workings of the brain. Be that as it may, an article in the January 1st 2017 edition of the journal The American Veterinary Medical Association looked at the concept of reflex epilepsy in dogs. Specifically, researchers mined data from 2000 to 2014 looking for evidence of seizure activity that was situational in nature. The dog was put in a certain situation and a seizure occurred. Over half of the dogs had multiple triggers. I had a similar experience with one of my dogs back in the days before I acknowledged the crucial role the quality of the bond played in animal behavior. Back then, I was using treat training. At the time, I had a dog who had severe aggression. Yes, I know, even those who are experienced treat trainers know that different rules apply when a dog is aggressive. But at that time, I used the rule of thumb that many trainers did. It worked, so I kept doing it. And I could get this dog to obey commands. He would drop on a dime, even if he didn't want to. And I felt really good about that. I felt really powerful. I felt like I was in control. At that time, I had a neighbor who had moved to the country with the idea that then their dog could run free. They wouldn't have to worry about where their dog went. Periodically, this dog would come barreling through the woods and into my yard, which he would then mark time and time again as his own, with his urine and his stool. Needless to say, my male dog would go ballistic. Oh, he wouldn't become aggressive. He wouldn't take off. But he would patrol that yard. He would frantically sniff at every single one of these spots. And it was perfectly obvious that this was driving him crazy. But I ignored it because he didn't do anything about it. He came when I called. He was still totally obedient. Everything was fine from my training perspective. Then one day I happened to look outside and see the dog barreling down the hill as usual and making a beeline right toward the door. Because it wouldn't have surprised me if that dog lifted his leg and peed all over the door, I immediately gave my dog the down command. As always, he dropped like a rock. But as soon as he got into that down position, I could tell he was going to have a seizure. He became rigid. He got that confused look on his face. I could almost see when he reached his tipping point of stimulus overload. He could not deal with the conflict anymore, and he went into a grand mal seizure. I did that to him. I did that to my own dog. My ego. My belief that I could force him to obey commands that were totally out of my treat-based reactive relationship with him caused my dog to experience a grand mal seizure. Because of this, I have no problem recognizing the very real possibility of reflex epilepsy in dogs. Relative to my own dog, I changed myself. I changed my relationship with that dog. But I'll never forget that. Nor will I ever read anything, be it fiction or nonfiction, based in the Victorian era where they refer to brain fever and laugh. I no longer have that luxury. And his articles like this one on reflex epilepsy in dogs assure me at least the veterinary community is no longer in a position to ignore this possibility either.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.